SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. SiriusXM Channel 159. Was it last night? I think it was only last night, wasn't it? Yeah, it was, because there's a lot of stuff going on. Was it two nights ago? I don't know. Whatever. When the Vince McMahon WWE news broke. And we said basically called it. We said he's got to step down. And I know some people are like, no, it's Vince McMahon. I said, no, he's done. Like, he's going to step down. He doesn't have a choice. He's like 78, right? And as we stated, man, like, do you really honestly believe that, like, there's only one, like, payment? like, God knows. Dude, off the top of my head, I got to believe it's probably, like, you know, 100 million or, like, dude, like, countless. Like, so this is the problem. I brought it up before, that if you're a private company, right, if you're a private company, this is the big thing. Like, when people are successful, they want to go public to get really rich. But you go public, man, you end up getting, like, it ends poorly all the time. Because once your company is public, you have to answer to a bunch of toolbag shareholders, a bunch of losers that bitch. You know what I mean? And they're always crying and you know, oh, you misappropriated this and what and all. And so now, you know, now they got people really looking into the books and stuff like that about, like, where did this money come from that you're paying these people off from? And it's really none of their business. I, for one, think that Vince is getting railroaded. I think that the board screwed Brett. They're going to say Vince screwed Vince. Man, his sub comes full circle. And Stephanie stepped down, but long story short, I guess Vince McMahon stepped down tonight. Now, he didn't say he was stepping down permanently, but he said he stepped down while this investigation goes on. There's no criminal investigation, so he's no criminal. It's nothing, you know what I mean? I guess it could be. I guess it is, actually, in a way. I guess it defied it could be. It's the same thing as Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels, right? You can pay, so you can give money to somebody, but you can't give money to them with it, like, a large amount without telling, like, you know what I mean, people about it. You know, like, taxes and all that type stuff. You can't just give someone $3 million or something, you know what I mean, and not, you know, tell someone. Like, there's a story about George Clooney. And George Clooney give, like, five of his best friends $1 million each or something. There's a story about George Clooney. Like, he went to high school. Like, he surprised them. He didn't see a bunch of dudes he hadn't seen in a long time or something. And they met him, and he literally gave them, like, $1 million each. He said, you know, I didn't forget you guys and your friendship to me or whatever. And he gave them, and I remember the story, and he said, and he goes, and don't worry about anything. He goes, I even declared this and paid the tax on it for you. He goes, you don't, sort of like if you win a bunch of prizes on the Wheel of Fortune or the Price is Right, you got to pay tax on it still, right? Right, like, you got to pay the taxes on it. So anyways, so Vince has a Securities and Exchange Commission. So this isn't like, you know, like, he has, like, the, like, it's a Wall Street Journal story. It's a business story. Like, the investors are, like, digging around now. So his daughter's back in business. She just took over the company, Stephanie McMahon. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pistol players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're not done. Scoop Jackson's going to rejoin us. We've got Rob Vino for you degenerates out there that want to get in on some action in moderation only. I like what Tony Finn said, moderation in a second, but excessively. But always play within your means. Play within your means. But yeah, if you want to get in some USFL football action this week, we're going to have some USFL picks for you a little bit later on in the program. We'll talk more NBA basketball. We got the NBA draft coming up next week. We already gave you Chet Holmgren on this show a couple of weeks. That's the one thing, guys. We're not like shows. We don't just start talking about everybody else will start talking about the NBA draft next week. We already did. Right? We did it a month ago. And we gave you Chet Holmgren at +330 a month ago. right? Like, we've already done it. It's sort of like the F1 stuff. It's only almost anticlimactic for me. It's like, you know, I did a video with some best bets for Sports Grid that I'll post in the morning. I was like, what am I going to do with the F1? I'm not giving Max Verstappen a minus 200. I already did a video on Tuesday where I told people to take it a minus 110. So if you didn't do it then, I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? I said it in the video. He who hesitates is lost. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Go get it. That's not quite as eloquent. But basically, you know, nothing, you know, it's like the Boston Celtics. They didn't go get it. They didn't go get it. I stand by the debate last night with Teddy Covers, and that was pretty explosive because I've been hearing from all over the place today. Oh, I heard you got into a big thing with Teddy last night. No, it's just a radio segment. It was just a radio segment. Me and Teddy just sound angry. We're like, you know what I mean? Like, see, like you see Eastern Europeans, it seems like they're fighting and yelling at each other, and they're really saying, how was your day? How was your day today? That's me and Teddy. But I stand by it. The Boston Celtics could have won the finals. They could have. Yeah, and listen, I had money on Golden State, so I'm not a Boston fan crying about anything. I'm just telling you that they let it get away from them. Steph Curry went 0 for 9. Wiggins went 0 for 6 that night. They had him on the, you know what I mean? They had him in a sense. They were just, you know, it was the experience factor, man, right? They were younger and better, but they didn't have what it takes. They just didn't have that, you know? Sort of like picking on a grandfather that's like a farmer or something. He's going to knock your ass out. You know what I'm saying? You might be faster than him, but yeah, whatever. You're not beating him. Scoop. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're into bonus time here with Scoop Jazz. I gotta tell you, Scoop, you and I should have a show on HBO, man, with Bomani. We're getting deep here right now. But I hear what you're...
Just on HBO, they change it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they'd add something to it. So that's a good point. But no, we're just getting deep there, and I like where you're going with that. We don't have time to dig in, like, fully, but...
Right.
It does sort of have that barbershop feel to it. No, man, it's, you know, he's no good, right, and that... F him, and it's just that sort of constant. But it's too far. It's gone too far. And I think now, like you said, everybody gets torn down. So me and Scoop can go on all night about this stuff. So I want to ask you about speaking about and getting torn down, Jason Tatum. So, you know, some people are coming after Jason. He's 24 years old. But I stand by this, Scoop, and I'm curious your take, because I got into an argument with someone last night about this, and I did bet on Golden State. So I picked Golden State to win the series. But I maintain, I think that Boston, for like years to come type thing, like this is the type of, I think they let one get away from them. Like, I think in hindsight, when they look back, they'll think, and we were talking about Curry's greatness, but bro, they lost to Curry and Wiggins, essentially. They were younger, faster, better, and they couldn't get it done, right? They just couldn't. Like, my analogy was like last year, Scoop, the Montreal Canadiens made it to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Lightning. They lost in five games. No one on the Canadiens will be telling their grandkids, I came this close to winning the Stanley Cup.
Right.
They lost in five. They got dominated. They're going to tell their kids, yeah, we had a hell of a run. We made it to the Stanley Cup, and we lost, man, but it was fun. Cincinnati Bengals lost to the Rams. You know, like, you lost to a super team and Cooper Kupp and Odell, and, you know, there wasn't one play where it's like, damn, man, if that didn't happen, we'd be effing Super Bowl champs right now, and I'm haunted for life.
Right.
I think Boston, man, like 20 years from now, Marcus Smart's going to be sitting, you know, in his house thinking, God damn, man, how did we not win? How did I turn the ball over so much? How did we lose to Draymond and freaking Kevon Looney, man? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think Boston let it get away from them. It's not to take anything away from Golden State, but I think Boston, it wasn't so much a technical thing. I think they just hit the wall emotionally and mentally, bro.
I do too, but I think here's why I disagree with you. I don't think they're going to feel bad and feel they let one get away, because I think years down the line they'll realize who they lost to.
And yeah, really, that's a good point. Yeah.
And that's a,
and Tatum's only 24 too. Still,
I'm not looking at the age. I'm looking at the experience just across the board, where you have a team that has been in the finals six of the last 8 years, that has won four of the last eight championships, you know, over the last 8 years, that is basically coming back and feeling that they have to prove something because of the outside noise that they you know, that they took in that made them believe that people thought that they would never get back there. So when Golden State wins another one, Boston will be like, you know, we just didn't lose on a one-off. You know, this is all of our first time there. We had been to the conference finals three times, hadn't got to the big dance. We got to the big dance, but damn, look at who we faced. We faced a team that if they win another one, people are going to start using the dynasty word, basically. So when you look at it that way 10 years from now, you can't be upset because you're not the only one. You know what I'm saying? You look at, well, hell, look who else lost to him. LeBron lost to him three times. You know, we lost to him. Who else, you know, the only team that really beat them was Toronto. And look what happened to them when Toronto beat them. You know, so I don't think Boston's going to hold this against themselves. And plus, once again, they'll think about that, how nobody on their squad was there. This is a rookie coach. They're going to be like, yeah, man, this is his first time here, too. This is his rookie season. Now, if they win one, you know, before Marcus Smart retires, they definitely won't look at it and see they let one got away because they made it for it because they'll use that. That was our teaching moment. That was our learning experience. That was our first time in it, and we went up against a team that, you know, by then they could have won five or six. So, yeah, we were supposed to lose that one. It's the same way Dallas looks at their championship. You know, they got their ass beat, you know, in the finals Dirk's first time in. But when he got back in there, what did he do? All right, we've seen this before. We know what we have to do. This is our first time in it. And they don't look back to that championship that they lost. They let one get away. No, we rectified that. We understand we were young. We were inexperienced. We were going up against a team that knew what they were doing and probably had more desire to win one than we did at that time. So I don't think that's going to happen. I cannot see that happening. But here's the thing I think we need to discuss with Boston, and this is some real talk. Is that my sons and my nephews and I were talking about this last night. I think they're going to give one more run at this, and this may be more closer to the answer to your question, or agreeing to what you said to your question than anything. I think if they do not win it next year, this whole thing is over with them as far as like building the core around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think they'll be like, you know what? We've been to, especially if they get back to the finals and don't win it. But as of right now, we're speaking about a tandem that they have built this organization around that has gotten to four Eastern Conference championships and one championship, and right now has not walked away with anything. Now, let's give it next year. But if they don't come away with a title next year after using this year as a learning experience, then they're going to have to make a tough decision. And I think that decision is going to come down to, okay, who are we keeping? Are we keeping Tatum or are we keeping Brown? And that's where I think we're going to get to, okay, now Boston can have a conversation 10 years from now, because between this year and next year, if they don't win one, it's not going to be, damn, we let one get away. It's going to be, damn, we tried to build on this for like 10 years. You know what I'm saying? We've had this program for 10 years, two different coaches. You know, it started off with Danny Ainge, then it moved into, you know, Brad Stevens into the front office. We let Odoku take over the squad, but the core of this team was still built around two young individuals, and we didn't get it done.
That's very reminiscent. You talked about Toronto. I couldn't help but think about DeMar and Kyle. These guys are winning 56 games of the year together every year. They made it to the conference finals. They couldn't freaking beat LeBron, right? They just couldn't do it. And then they finally fell apart. They got swept by the Wizards. And, you know, there was just sort of a couple of things along the way. They couldn't do it. And Masai, and look, at the time, he'd be like, Mike, you can't trade DeMar DeRozan. Like, come on, man. But you know.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep talking. You're saying the exact
same
thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because it wasn't easy. Because DeMar was loved. There's a lot of similarities between DeMar and Tatum.
Yes. Yes, and that's what I'm saying. And I think, you know, Lord hopes he doesn't play next year in this moment like he did this past finals. But, you know, Jason Tatum does not want to make that decision easy for Boston.
Yeah.
If they had to make the decision right now, he just made it easy for them.
And it came up. It's, yeah. All right, listen, man. Time, this is unbelievable, Scott. Man, this is honestly one of the fastest interviews we've ever done, man. I think we can do a whole damn show, bro. We can do a whole show. So listen, we literally got a minute and a half, but another guy that's super humble that was generally happy for 9 freaking titles for Steve Kerr. And Kerr's so humble when he said, I've just been around a lot of superstars. I have a habit of, like, you know, hanging around good players. I was like, bro, I told people on my show last night the story about when people mocked his father being shot at Arizona State.
Yeah, I know,
and he dropped. He hit 6 of 6 free throw, 6 of 6 three pointers, dropped 20 points, led him to victory. He was a baller too, bro. You don't play on all those teams unless you're a winner yourself. You don't go to the Spurs. You're not on the Bulls unless you're a winner. You don't win 9 championships by accident, Scoop.
No, you don't. You don't. And he's earned every one of them. And, you know, we're talking about legacies, you know, and we're talking about Steph's legacy. And we're talking about the potential Jason Tatum's legacy and Jalen Brown's and the legacy of the Boston Celtics, you know, and whether they get 18 or not, you know, with this core, just, you know, Clay's, all the legacy pieces. But, you know, at the end of the day, when we start looking at, you know, the legacy of an individual's basketball journey, his has to be top as almost anybody. He's up there with Jerry West as far as I'm concerned, because you look at his basketball life. Now, he wasn't Jerry West when he played, but anytime you're on a team with Michael Jordan and Michael Jordan says to you, Steve, be ready because I'm coming to you to win a championship, you're a baller. That's bottom line. And you go to San Antonio and you play with Tim Duncan and you play for Greg Popovich and you win one. Then you go and you become general manager and you kind of start the resurrection of a whole organization. You know what I'm saying? You're like, hey, I can do this thing, and I can show you I can do this on the front office standpoint. And basically, you become a coach and taking a step down from what you were doing with no coaching experience. You're smart enough to surround yourself with brilliant minds. They started out surrounding themselves with Ron Adams and Alvin Gentry.
Hey, Scoop, listen, what up?
That's the greatest coaching staff ever. And look what he's been able to do from that. So look at his whole basketball career. And tell me if that's not one of the great, like, his whole journey.
Exactly.
Where he is at right now.
We got to get out of here, Scoop.
We're the best ever.
We got to get out of here, but you're exactly right. We were talking about humbleness. Everyone, like, talk Phil Jackson. Look at what Kerr's done, man. 9 effing titles. You're the best, Scoop.
All right, man. Talk to you soon, Gabe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Friday Night Freak Show, the Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Sirius XM Channel 159, a Muddier 1090 ESPN Radio, San Diego, SoCal in the house. I am Morency. Let's do this thing. Let's bring in Rob Vino, RobVinoSports.com, WagerTalk.com. It's good to have you, Rob, back. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. How you doing tonight, Rob?
I am doing good, buddy. Glad to be here with you tonight.
Well, we appreciate your time, and unlike Teddy, I don't think you'll make my blood boil like one of your colleagues, Teddy Covers, Teddy. But it's all in love. Me and Teddy go way back, so it's all good. It's all good. So it's great. It's great to have you back, Rob. Man, it's amazing how time flies, and me and Teddy go way back. Yet today is an anniversary of sorts, and I tweeted out this earlier, and I was talking about this earlier in the show. There's not a lot of where were you when moments. Do you know what I mean? You know, mm-hmm. there's you know, a couple of tragedies, the moon landing. You know, there's a couple of things in modern pop, you know, in society, pop culture, modern history. But June 17th, 1994. O.J. Simpson chase. Rangers celebrate their Stanley Cup victory. Knicks Rockets NBA Finals. FIFA World Cup begins with the opening ceremony in Chicago all at once. Can't believe that's 1994. I shudder to do the math. So we're talking about 28 years ago. Do you remember where you were during the O.J. Simpson chase? I assume you're watching the NBA game like all of us. So do you remember where you were? Do you remember that night?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I was home. I actually had a one-year-old at the time. My oldest had just turned one. A little over one, but I was glued to that OJ stuff. And I remember, you know, ESPN did a great job with the 30 for 30 on all of this, which kind of jogs your memory a little bit about watching Bob Costas that night doing Knicks Rockets and, you know, the break and news break-ins to show you the OJ chase going on. It was crazy stuff, Gabe, for those of us who lived through it. And it is kind of hard to believe it's 28 years already. My goodness. Rangers kind of got swept under the rug. That was a big deal for the New York Rangers back then. So World Cup, I actually was at one of those games that year in Pasadena. Brazil played, I believe it was Switzerland. And what I mean, I don't know that I've ever been to a sporting event like it, Gabe. 40,000 Brazilians And in the stands, a lot of the female population topless. It was crazy.
You got a lot of details. You remember everything about this.
I tell you what, buddy. It's hard not to remember because you couldn't drive a car through it because they were all walking and they jammed up the entrance into the stadium. But, yeah, it's a long time ago, and, boy, it was quite a jam-packed day.
28 years, yeah. 28 years. What a night, man. What a night. Rob Vino with us. So, you know, I love history. I love world history. I love, sports history as well. And tonight, history was made in a way. Once again, it's the it's unbelievable what's going on here in New York with New York baseball right now. Because I got to tell you, Rob, I don't need to tell you, New York football sucks, right? Like, we've kidded about this over the years, but if we've combined the Jets and Giants, they'd still be bad. You're still stuck with Danny Jones and Zach Wilson. Like, either way, you combine them both. But how about this tonight where you've got Anthony Rizzo hits a grand slam to give the Yankees a 10-1 lead. 20 minutes later, Pete Alonso hits a grand slam to give the Mets a 10-1 lead. I'm going to talk about some whacked out stuff, huh? I love that stuff. Like, I love that stuff. New York, unbelievable. And you know, this is unbelievable, actually. It's the sixth time that this has happened. That a Yankee and a Met have both hit a grand slam on the same day, and I'm surprised it's actually six. I wouldn't believe it would have been this high, even with the history of both teams.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot. I mean, the Mets' history doesn't even go back that far, right? I think they start in 62, so
exactly.
But still, to do it six times, just a grand slam, seems like a lot on the same day.
Really unbelievable. You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you saw this. I tweeted it out. Really going to blow your mind about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Sr. The exact same amount of home runs and the exact same base percentage after 403 games. Like the exact number. Just, you know, like, I just love these weird things, but I just can't believe that. All right, so it's two New York teams. They both hit grand slams, and it's actually the same damn score. The same score. You can't make this stuff up. This Yankee team, are you betting on them every night? Because I got to be honest, if there's one sort of thing that I look back on, and I'm a pretty big streaky baseball guy. Like, I recognize hot teams and cold teams, etc. Right. The Yankees, I can't lie to you and tell you I've made a ton of money off this run. I didn't believe in them earlier in the year. And then, you know, they're kind of overpriced, and I wait for them to regress. But, you know, they haven't really played a tough schedule yet, but it doesn't matter who they play. They just smash everybody, bro.
Yeah, the only part of the Yankees that I can single out where I've made money is with nasty Nestor Cortez. Cortez has made me money, but that spot picking him, either on a five-inning line or a full-game line or whatever, or some form of total, but he's really the only one that I can honestly say has, you know, because I haven't played the Yankees every day. As you mentioned, baseball, we know a lot of guys in the industry, right? Been around a long, long time. And in baseball, if there's one rule of thumb, it's exactly what you said.
Yeah, but why overthink it? Shouldn't we just be playing the Yankees every day minus 1.5?
Play streaks, right? Play the hot and fade the cold. And, you know, that's the way baseball goes. And I'm like you. I haven't made a ton of money off the Yankees, but I can't say Cortez has been good to me.
One thing I will say, at least I haven't lost a ton of money betting against them. I did, and that's the thing. I bet against them once earlier this week. I bought into the Rays are 13-5, last 18 trips to the Bronx. You know, they're just one of these matchup things, and we lost a close one. I actually won money on the game. I had the unders in the first couple of games, but the rare times I bet against the Yankees, I've learned my lesson quickly. So just quick, to bring this up, just to be exact for you, Rob, so it was Vladimir Guerrero Sr. had 87 home runs and an OBP of 363 in his first 403 Major League Baseball games. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has 87 home runs and an OBP of 633 in his first 403 Major League Baseball games.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It's like, who was the guy? Maybe Chris Davis, the Milwaukee Chris Davis, that hit 249 exactly like 4 years in a row or something.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest stuff. I'm telling you, Tim Kirchen for ESPN used to say, if you watch baseball every day, you'll see something brand new almost all the time. And
that's the beautiful thing about the game.
Yeah, two immaculate innings in one game, and the same exact three guys strike out on three pitches twice. It's crazy baseball.
Last one I'll throw out here is this another crazy one. This is from the NBA. Gary Trent Sr. All right, so another one. Gary Trent Sr. got traded in his third season, 41 games into the season, from Portland to the Toronto Raptors. 23 years later, Gary Trent Jr. gets traded in his third NBA season, 41 games into the season, to the Toronto Raptors.
I started laughing before you could even finish that. It's incredible, right? It's so incredible.
All right, and last one, I promise, but I love it. This one will blow your mind, too. You remember this one? Remember when the Braves got smashed in, like, that Game 5 against the Cardinals in the playoffs, and they were down, like, 10-0 in the first inning type thing?
Right.
Like, they got, you know, it was at home, it was in Atlanta. Like, St. Louis just crushed them. Like, they literally scored, I think, like, 12 runs in the first inning or 11. It was, like, basically, like, 10-0, 12-0. And that was 2 years, 8 months, and 3 days to the Super Bowl 28-3 loss in Atlanta. That one really. I'm like, you're telling me it's exactly 2 years, 8 months, and 3 days. Rob Vino kicking with us on the late night anger management class. We'll get into the USFL as well. I see Clam Chowder's bombing some Twitter bombs in the late night hours. Good to see you online, Chowder. Blast from the past here. So Rob Vino will rejoin us, and we'll get into the USFL playoff picture. It's the final week of the regular season, and as I said earlier in the program briefly, that I sort of dismissed this week in the USFL earlier in the week. You know, and listen, we there's no stone unturned if you turn into this show, right? You tune in here. There's no stone unturned. But we did sort of think, whatever, it's the last week. The CFL is here. It's the last week of the USFL. But there are some angles here, I think. And Rob Vino's one of the best in the business at all sports, but specifically, like, he's really into the USFL, so I look forward to getting his take on this stuff. And then now that the NBA's done, look, next week we have the NBA draft. We have the summer league coming up, and next week we're going to the NBA draft, but it's time to really start. We'll get into our college conference previews. The odds are up. Hey, listen, the least we can do, if they're going to put the odds up, the least we can do is bet them. Rob Vino, USFL, next. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Free show continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We're kicking it with Rob Vino, wagertalk.com, robvinosports.com. So, Rob, I want to get into some USFL football with you, but as far as baseball is concerned, you weren't with us last week, so it's basically been 2 weeks. Remember, it was the managerial change with the Philadelphia Phillies. This is your team in your backyard, scorching hot. Rob Thompson's been getting it done. This team is it's a new team right now.
Yeah, boy, and totally different attitude, not only inside that clubhouse, but outside with the fan base and the media, Gabe. I mean, the media and the fan base had this team dead and buried, and, you know, they're not going to watch them anymore, and all the talk was about the Eagles. And like you say, we're 2 weeks removed from that, and you listen to talk radio in this town or television in this town, and you find that they firmly believe the Phillies are headed to the playoffs. So it was a quick turnaround. That's what happens in baseball, though, in the span of a couple of weeks. Sometimes this stuff happens in the span of 1 week. They're playing better ball. I don't think, again, you know, I don't think anybody totally blames this on Joe Girardi, anybody in the dugout, anybody fan base media-wise. But it is funny how they've responded. And for me, I just feel like it was the players almost felt like they were responsible for the firing of the guy and, you know, took a little bit of pride in coming out the very next day. And then a day after and a day after, I was in the stadium last Friday. That's why I wasn't with you. My oldest is a Diamondbacks fan, so we went down because they only come here once a year for a three-game set. And, boy, the crowd was electric. I mean, it was Bryce Harper bobblehead night, but and they had like 42,000 in the place that night. So it's just a different
vibe. Did you get a bobblehead? Right.
Did you get one? We got a couple of them. Yeah. Actually, was a decent-looking bobblehead, too. It looked a little bit like him. But, you know, there's just a different vibe about that team. They go about their business tonight again in the doubleheader against Washington, and it's a five-game set where they can make up even more ground. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't think they're as good as the Mets and Braves, but we're going to find out.
Well, at least it's competitive. There's a lot of baseball left, too. And you know what? I was on them in the second leg tonight. And I was like, you know, I wasn't overly panicked, but I was like, okay, you know, maybe they're not going to get done. You know, the Nationals just a fade team. Overnight number right now, Philadelphia, minus 210 with Nola on the hill against Gray tomorrow up. Minus 1.5 is minus 120. 4:30 Eastern time start, total 8.5.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're not a big fan, and I'm not a big fan of laying $2 plus, I mean, I generally don't even go above $1.55 where baseball is concerned. I shave things down with run lines, so Nola has been a little bit better recently on the road than at home, but he's been good overall, and no reason, like you say, that as much as we were talking about the Yankees being a buy on almost every single day, the Nationals are a straight fade almost every single day. They just don't have anything other than, you know, a 3-4-5 that can cause a little bit of damage. Josh Bell hits two home runs in the second game of the doubleheader tonight. Aside from that, not much life in that Washington team right now.
Rob Vino kicking with us. I am Gabriel Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks, the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. I think we might be the only show in America and the world, baby. USFL futures. How about that? USFL futures. So it's the last weekend of regular season play. And, you know, listen, I'm fired up for the CFL. The CFL's been back, and it's been great. It's on ESPN2, ESPN Plus. But the USFL, I mean, come on, man. How cool is it that these guys are going to be playing in Canton at the Hall of Fame? We got the playoffs and the championship game in Canton, Ohio. So it's the final week of regular season play. But a quick check of the future odds. The Birmingham Stallions finally lost for the first time. They are plus 175 to win the championship. New Jersey Generals plus 200. New Orleans Breakers plus 350. And the Philadelphia Stars plus 400. So I don't know what you've been able to gauge this week as far as what the attitude is of these coaches and the teams that are going to the playoffs versus the teams that are not, etc. But a good example is the Philadelphia Stars and the Generals. These guys are going to be playing each other, right? So they're going to be playing each other in the playoff game. What's your angle for this for teams that are playing each other? You know, we're used to this. You're used to this in Philly with the Eagles and Cowboys. Always happens. So I don't know about the USFL and how we approach this. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, and you know, and when we do a USFL show on Wager Talk TV every Thursday, four guys from the crew, and you know, the take was similar all across the board. And I think we saw this coming a couple of weeks ago. But to me, Gabe, it's, you know, there's a lot of different handicapping angles than there is in NFL and college football. Even though this is not football with a lot of the twisted rules. This is football with basically NFL rules and some things implemented in. I think I definitely did take the same approach to this game as I would have taken to an NFL game. I see it as being very vanilla. Both teams are run-oriented at this point in time.
You read my mind with the word vanilla. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, Mike Riley, the head coach of the Generals, did come out and say, well, we're going to game plan for this. But exactly what does that mean, we're going to game plan, right? I think it means they're going to be very simple offensively. They only gained 143 total yards last week in their game. Some would say they let off the throttle in that one. DeAndre Johnson did come back at quarterback. They tried to work him in a little bit because they play a two-headed quarterback system. But again, you know, I could see running of the football. Jersey generally in their games, they limit possessions for each side. Philadelphia's come along defensively. And I'll say this, you know, Philadelphia's quarterback, starting quarterback Case Cook, has took some real shots last week. And I don't think you want to just have him exposed out there to take more shots the week before the playoff game. So, to me, it's kind of let's let the clock run, let's get out of Dodge, and let's get to our playoff game in Canton. I played already under 41.5 in that game.
Love the angle. Could not agree more with everything you said. And if your book, if people out there, I'm not opposed. I've done it. USFL teasers to the under as well. Just add a little 7 to get a 48.5 if you want. But I like the under 41.5. Birmingham versus Tampa. Tampa, one of the hype teams coming into the year. It didn't work out. So they're not going to the playoffs. So you've got the Birmingham Stallions coming off that loss. Do they sort of say, all right, you know, we're going to go to the playoffs? Or do you see, you know what, they don't want to go into the playoffs losing 2 in a row?
Yeah, you know, for them, I think it's a little bit different, Gabe.
Obviously, it is,
yeah. We just talked about two teams that are going to play each other. Birmingham's not going to be playing Tampa in the playoffs. And again, to use the NFL similarity, Tampa Bay had their opportunity to make the playoffs last week. If they had beaten New Orleans in that game, they'd be in the driver's seat this week to go. They failed miserably. You wonder what the mindset is here now. Going to be a 95-degree day in Birmingham. They're the most turnover-prone team. I'll give you a number on Tampa Bay really quick. They now lead the USFL with 92 combined tackles for loss and sacks allowed. That's a lousy offensive line over there. They commit a lot of penalties, 13 last week. But for Birmingham, it's been 3 poor offensive weeks in a row after averaging like 27 a game on their home field, basically, right? They play in Birmingham every game. It's been lowered to like 17 points, and there's been struggles offensively, including last week when they lose to Houston. So I think that Skip Holtz and company try to straighten a few things out here this week. I think Birmingham's the right side of this game. I think you get a team that's going to play a little bit versus a team that's down and out after losing their playoff bid last week. I kind of like Birmingham minus the 3.5 there.
Once again, we're thinking the same thing, that I think they want to sharpen things up, tighten things up. They've been a little sloppy down the stretch. And if you're Tampa, as Rob stated, they control their own destiny. They had to win out. If they would have won last week and then this week, they would have made the playoffs, but they didn't. Todd Haley, former Steeler coordinator, Arizona coach, was the head coach there. There was a lot of hype about the Bandits. They were actually the favorites coming in. So, Rob, I don't think this is an overstatement to state that the Michigan Panthers and the Pittsburgh Maulers might be the worst game in the history of professional football. It might be. Like honestly, if you like, we were kidding earlier on the TV show tonight about, like, we're like, oh, like, there's some baseball series sometimes, like the Royals Tigers, and like, you know, we were kidding, oh my God, the KC in Oakland, like, you know what I mean? You know, how much can you get for that? You know, $6, you know, on StubHub, which is the minimum. So you got Michigan and Pittsburgh playing, train wreck game, they're both terrible. But then you got the Breakers and Gamblers. And we got about 2 minutes here on the way out. So we got the Breakers and Gamblers, and thanks to you, Rob, you've been talking about it, you know, for a month now, coming on the show, saying, you know, look at this Gambler team in the first half, man. I mean, these guys are first half warriors. These guys are the king. Kevin Sumlin's team, they're the king of blowing leads, guys. They're competitive, but they finally broke through. They're the ones that knocked the Birmingham Stallions off, and my gut tells me and my feel here is that they look to close strong, that they're frustrated, that they feel they could have won more football games. You're talking about Tampa maybe being down right now. Houston already knew they were out of the playoffs, and I think they want to end strong coming off the last win here. I like the Gamblers plus the 3.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I tried them again first half this week, Gabe, and I'll take it a step further. New Orleans, you know, and I have them. I got them beginning of the season, plus 475 to win it all, so I'm holding a ticket on them to win this thing. But they're not walking into this thing in real good shape at the quarterback position. Larry Fedora, the head coach, if he had his way right now, you saw it last week. He had actually benched quarterback Kyle Sloter and brought in Zach Smith. And if Zach Smith, ex-Baylor quarterback, had not hurt his wrist in that game, he would have been the new starting quarterback for this team. Whether it be because of the groin injury or whatever, Sloter, when you look at him, you see he leads the USFL in passing yards, but he's been sloppy for about 4 weeks now. And you could see last week Fedora's had enough of him, but he had to play him second half because of Zach Smith's injury. If, in fact, he wants to hold guys out here, if say Smith can't go, say he doesn't want to play Sloter, there's a possibility they call Shea Patterson in. And if they call Shea Patterson in, I really want Houston. But I just don't know that New Orleans quarterback situation is in a real good spot right now. It's a great defense, don't get me wrong. But offensively, we talked about Birmingham being sloppy. The last few weeks, New Orleans has been just as sloppy. And Houston, as you mentioned, boy, they play hard. I mean, they haven't come up with a lot of wins, but you know what? Their total point differential on the season, Gabe, is only minus 29 points. Shows you how close they've been in a bunch of these. I tried them first half. I would agree with you. Full game is worth a shot, too. We'll see how New Orleans plays it at QB this week, but I don't think I want any part of the Breakers this week.
Great to have you back breaking it down. Can't wait to talk USFL playoffs next week and start getting into some college football futures, conference odds, and everything else in between. Always a pleasure, my man. Great having you back. Rob Vino Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Rob Vino Sports. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Gabe. Thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
Rob Vino Sports on Twitter, easy to find, robvinosports.com, wagertalk.com. Excellent insight, as always, from Mr. Vino, talking USFL football. Just a quick recap right now, as far as the football card is concerned this weekend. Countdown is on to college football, NFL football, but we've got CFL football week two, and we've got week 10 of the USFL. It's the final week of regular season play. So to recap, Philadelphia, New Jersey, 12 o'clock Eastern, early start on the West Coast, everybody. So 9 a.m. Eastern time, 12 o'clock Eastern. Philadelphia Stars and New Jersey Generals. These two teams are going to be playing each other next week in the playoffs, so I expect a vanilla milkshake here. Let's go under the 41.5. Birmingham Stallions, money line to beat the Tampa Bay Bandits. Sunday, Panthers, Maulers, pass. Give me the Houston Gamblers, plus 3. CFL picks, F1, baseball, UFC, and more on the way out on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
3 minute warning, quickest 180 minutes of sports talk radio.
You think I'm dead, but I'm not.
This is Sports Rage. All right, thanks to all of our guests tonight. Mike Wise from the Washington Post, the original OG Scoop Jackson, Tony Finn, and of course Rob Vino for joining us on the program. So on the way out, if you're just joining us right now, we're going to give you a bunch of picks, but follow me on Twitter at Sports Rage. I got a video coming out tomorrow with more with picks, and we always post stuff. F1 especially, F1 was really tough before you know the pole positions tomorrow afternoon, actually morning. I think it's noon, like 12:15, I believe Eastern time is the qualifications for F1, so I'm looking forward to that at 9 in the morning tomorrow. Big day of sports tomorrow. So I'm taking the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow night. I think they're going to even up the series. I like the under 6.5 as well. I got burnt taking a 6.5 in game one. They got to 7, but Vasilevsky let in a couple of goals that he normally wouldn't. So give me the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow. We know, like, these guys are like 17-1 off a loss over the last 3 years. The last 3 years in the playoffs, they've only lost back-to-back games once. All right, so Vasilevsky's much better. You know, he's always sort of shaky in game ones, and it's just one of their things. The Tampa are counterpunchers, so I expect Tampa to tie this series up tomorrow. It's not going to be easy. Colorado are good, but I like Tampa tomorrow plus 132. CFL football tomorrow. Like, give me the Hamilton Tiger Cats over Calgary. It's going to be tricky. Tease the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Good teaser tomorrow is the Hamilton Tiger Cats tease with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. 7-point teaser. So you get the Riders up to, like, +7, +6. Game's basically a pick 'em, so +7. And then you get Saskatchewan, who's -8, down to 1. I do think Saskatchewan are going to cover the -8 against Edmonton. I think that game's going to go over the number. UFC, I like Cater and Emmett to go over 3.5 rounds. National Lacrosse League Championship tomorrow night. I like the Buffalo Bandits, -175. Buffalo Bandits. We're already in on a future pick at -150. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.